Chapter 47. Kelsey couldn't help but hold her breath. It took an hour to get to this stage each night, and the last stage was always the most critical. She squeezed the pipette load into the solution and watched anxiously as the two clear liquids swirled around one another in the flask. She was behind on her schedule, having exhausted the facility's supply of several rare chemicals. There had been a week's delay before the stock had been replenished that very day. She held up the flask, moving it past the light. A full spectrum of color flashed across the room, then vanished as the angle changed. With apprehension, Kelsey set down the flask on the table and watched as the swirling liquid slowed to a barely perceptible eddy. No spontaneous diffusion of color, no change in consistency. For the first time in 380 attempts, the solution was stable. She clapped her hands to her mouth in astonishment, stifling a gasp of joy. Kelsey sealed the flask, stowed it in her lab coat pocket, and headed to her office, carefully avoiding the gliding automatons en route. Closing her office door, she drew the blinds and approached the two cages by the wall. Each contained a lab rat. Both rats were lethargic and disoriented. One was trying to fathom the running wheel, but couldn't even get a foothold to begin with. It kept pawing at the base and slumping onto the straw beside it. The rat in the neighboring cage was being useless in a different way, compulsively brushing its back against the railing. Kelsey rinsed out the rat's water dispensers, removing all trace of the neuroplasticizer medicine she'd mixed in. It was the same drug she'd given Taylor over a year ago, and just as potent. She cursed herself daily for causing the whole situation. Had she followed protocol and tested sufficiently on lab rats before putting Taylor in the firing line, none of this would be happening. But her eagerness to make a difference had cost them everything. Kelsey mentally flipped a coin. Into one dispenser, she poured pure water. Into the other, she poured water infused with her new transparent solution, batch 380. Using a soft stick, she coaxed each dozy rat towards their drip. The creature's base instincts took over as soon as they were within close range of the liquid, and they sipped thirstily. Kelsey sat at her desk and noted the time and respective dosages in her journal. She stared at the page with excitement. Could this be the batch? The miracle cure that would finally undo her greatest shame? There was a metallic knock at the door. "Come in," said Kelsey, quickly hiding her journal in a drawer. An automaton glided in, then moved to the side. Behind it entered a familiar and most unwelcome shock of red hair.
"Director! Burning the midnight oil again, I see."
Kelsey's face soured. "How can I help you, Detective Clerkenwell?"
"It's the funniest thing, Director. I was reflecting on some cold cases, and you just popped into my head. I thought I'd come and see how you were doing."
"I'm working. If that will be all, my colleague here can see you out." Clerkenwell sauntered around the office. With one hand casually in her pocket, she prodded and lifted Kelsey's various effects. Kelsey held her tongue as the detective examined her diploma, her community awards, her bookshelf, even her pot plants. It was clearly a mind game intended to rile her. It was working.
"Your half-siblings, right?" said the detective, holding up a photo of Taylor and Seth.
"Are you here to discuss my private life or my work, Detective? I'm willing to discuss one, but not both." Clerkenwell chuckled and put the photo back.
"That's a good line. I should use it at home. Speaking of, how is your home life?"
"Private. How about yours?" snapped Kelsey.
"Get to see much of these two?"
asked Clerkenwell, gesturing to the photo.
"They're not your kids, are they? And yet, the adult girl's living at your family home. Taylor, right?"
Kelsey glared at the woman.
"I take it that's a yes to all that,"
continued the detective.
"How about your husband? I was sorry to hear about his accident."
Kelsey stood up abruptly, her blood boiling. "Get the hell out of my office!"
"Hey, we're on the same side here, Director. We both work for the ministry, so in a sense, this is my office, too."
Clerkenwell meandered over to the nearest rat cage. She pressed her fingers through the mesh and made a chirping noise. The lethargic rat paid no attention, merely rolling onto its back as if drunk. The detective frowned.
"Unless you have a warrant to be here, I'm calling security, and I will be filing a harassment report with your superiors.
quivered Kelsey. Clerkenwell rolled her eyes, as if Kelsey was ruining a perfectly pleasant gathering. She swaggered to the door.
I guess I'll be going then. Sure would hate to get a complaint at this time of year. My pay review's coming up. Oh, but there was one quick thing. The financial fraud team said they were notified of irregularities in your department's expenditure. Apparently, you've been burning through your rare chemicals at quite a rate this year. Any theories?
We have a research budget in this facility, said Kelsey tersely.
I thought you might say that. Yet when my team looked through the accounts, there seemed to be no mention of new R&D activities that would cause such a gaping hole in your supplies.
Perhaps your team is looking at an old report. I'll have my secretary wire you our latest records at his first convenience.
How very kind. I look forward to it. You wouldn't believe some of the crazy theories my colleagues have been throwing around,
laughed Clerkenwell.
Maybe I'll share them with you sometime. They keep talking about things like penalties for using experimental substances without a license. Dang, those sentences are crazy harsh. I read a couple of them, and even I was like, who came up with this stuff, you know? It's draconian. Personally, I'm all for restorative justice. Nothing I like more than to see an offender rehabilitated. But sadly, I don't make the rules. I just catch people breaking them. See you again soon, I'm sure, Director.
Clerkenwell disappeared from sight, followed by an automaton. Kelsey thumped her desk in anger, cursing the woman's timing. She crossed over to the rat cages and peered down at the two residents. One was still lumping around on its back, half asleep, but its neighbor had changed dramatically. It had figured out the running wheel and was a hive of activity. Kelsey lifted a partition from both cages and watched as the two rats reacted to the new doorway available to them. The one on the wheel immediately hopped off and scurried to the doorway. It sniffed the threshold, then stepped inside. Both rats now had access to an individual maze connected to their respective cage. The sleepy rat continued lounging, so Kelsey gave it an encouraging nod with the stick. It limped towards the doorway, then gazed listlessly into the passageway beyond. Its energized comrade, by contrast, had blitzed its way through the maze, overcoming the dead ends and false turnings, and located the food reward on the far side. Kelsey hurried to her journal excitedly and made a note beside her last entry. The serum works! She slammed the book shut and grasped her knees in disbelief. Hope. There was finally hope for Taylor. But she had to act fast. Clerkenwell was circling and could yet ruin everything. She had to perfect the serum before the detective shut her down.